these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Rider and the Fighter. I'm your co-host, David Golden, from OregonSportsNews.com. With me, as always, my main man, Jake the Half-Black Attack Smith from Bellator MMA. What's up, dude?
What's happening?
Oh, you know, just rocking and rolling.
Yeah?
Cleaning glass out of my car.
Yeah, what happened?
Somebody broke into my fucking car.
You too, huh?
Store. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, your car got broken into this weekend?
No, Chell. Chell got his truck broken into.
Oh, man.
Yeah. What'd they take out of you?
So, I almost always, like, when I get home from work, I take my backpack out of my car and I bring it into the house, you know? It's just
the one
standard.
Time you didn't, huh?
Well, I didn't. And then I was like, oh, I'll leave it in here because I knew I was going to get pizza and I had a Domino's gift card in there. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. So pulled that out, used the Domino's gift card, like, got home, didn't think about my backpack because I had pizza in the car with me.
Yeah.
And then I went to the grocery store late at night like I generally do.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, man, I parked under a light, like, two spots from the front of the store.
Yeah.
And then I come out, I put my groceries in.
Grab.
Well, dude, I put my groceries in the back. I didn't even think about, I didn't see anything. I just put my groceries in, closed it. I come around the side. I'm like, oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of whack. But yeah, so they got my backpack out of there. Got some stuff from my backpack. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that's.
But you know, they didn't like go inside. They didn't steal my jacket, thank God, because it's been cold.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they
still sucked.
Probably ran by, smashed it, snatched it out, and took off.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. They saw the backpack, broke the window, grabbed it. Jerks.
I fucking hate people.
Yeah. The way I try to look at it is, like, I've had my car broken into a lot. Not this one, just, like, cars over my lifetime.
And, yeah.
You know, living in San Jose, you're going to get your car broken into. It's going to happen. And I always try to remind myself, like, that person definitely needs whatever they stole worse than I do.
Yeah, like, that's yeah.
Even if it's for like drug money or whatever, like they need it worse than I do.
Yeah.
I can't get too mad. If I get mad, what's it really gonna do? Like, I'd rather get mad at something stupid throughout my day than something like this, because I could obsess about it, you know?
I totally get that whole logic. Like, that's how I looked at it when I got all my gear stolen. I was like, well, hopefully they get whatever they need out of this. Like, I mean, it's, you know.
Or maybe they sold it on Craigslist and some kid got his first, you know, first set of gear and was using
it,
which is a bummer, but whatever.
I was checking Craigslist like a motherfucker. I was hoping.
Yeah.
I was hoping to catch whoever stole my stuff still.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, you know, it was whatever, but if I would have caught him trying to sell it, like, there would have been some violence.
Yeah, you show up and just take it. Be like, you stole this out of my car, dick.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
How about I give you no dollars and I take it back since you stole it from my car?
What do you mean? I'm like, this is my fucking mouthpiece. It says my name on it.
Yeah, totally. Who wants to buy this custom mouth guard? It'll fit you. Don't worry about it. Throw it in some hot water. You can change the shape. They took all your gear to play it again. Sports. They found like the one store that's left.
Right. Yeah. Fucking A, right. Yeah. That sucks though, man. I'm sorry. Like, hopefully you didn't have anything too valuable in there though.
You know, some stuff, but whatever.
Huh.
Nothing. Nothing that can't be replaced. I have good insurance too, so that's
good.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, actually, this was kind of surprising. I forgot we have like a comprehensive plan, so we have like the, you know, super good coverage, and I just didn't even consider that. So I called. I was like, hey, my window got broken. I didn't know what my deductible is. Like, should I just go get it replaced? Because in the past, I've had my car broken into. You replace the window, and it's like $150 or whatever it is that, you know, Johnny's Windows or whatever. And they're like, oh, you have a $0 copay. Like, woo,
nice.
$0.
Solid.
That's what's up.
Look at that.
So call them up. Safe Light's going to come to my house, change that shit in my garage.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know. Yeah, just people are shitty, you know?
Yeah, they are. It happens. I you know, lesson learned. I'm pretty sure I saw the guy.
It's always just that one time, too, right? Like, every time. It's like, I usually do this, and the one fucking time, like, for me, it was the one time I didn't lock my fucking car door.
Right? Yeah.
And it's just something that just kind of, like, slips your mind, and then, boom, everything changes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this was, I go to this store all the time, you know, and I always shop at night. It's never been an issue. But I saw this weird dude when I pulled up there, and it had a weird vibe, and I know it was him. I know it was him, and I'm just like, God damn it.
Yeah.
But whatever. It happens.
Yeah, fuck that guy if you're listening.
Yeah, such
but
is
life.
But
if you're a fan, I mean, that's cool too. So
yeah, yeah. Thanks. Give us a 5-star written review yeah, on
you
iTunes.
You owe us that
and
at
you
least.
You can keep that backpack and its contents. I hope you enjoy those dice.
Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, shit. They took your fucking, your murder dice?
Yeah, just a couple sets. But I just got them, so it was kind of a bummer. Whatever.
What a cocksucker.
Yeah, you know, whatever. I don't think you'll have any use for them, but, you know.
See him on the street, fucking
right. He's out there rolling.
Daddy needs some new shoes.
Yeah, he's like, I got a new game of dice to roll. Yeah. What you know about those polyhedrals, son?
Right.
Yeah, I
mean, that would be kind of neat to watch. Like,
yeah, right. That would be pretty hilarious. Trying to sell somebody like a weird velvet bag with some dice in it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, this is the shit. What do you do with them? I don't know.
Fucking witchcraft. I don't know.
That's right. You summon the devil.
Yeah. But outside of the violence done to your windshield or your car window,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some other violence.
Sure.
Segway.
You want to go positive violence or negative violence?
Negative violence.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go negative.
All right. So I just saw today that Paige VanZant, her fight is off. She was supposed to be fighting Rachel Ostovich. Is that how you say it? Ostovich or Ostovich?
I say it however she wants it.
She's she's well known for coming out in Wonder Woman gear.
Sure is.
She and Paige VanZant were set to do the damn thing, but while she was on vacation, she was attacked in an alleged domestic dispute. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of information out about it, but like I can't stress this enough. I get so sick of reading about girls getting beat up by dudes in domestic violence attacks. It's like what kind of person are you? Like who raised you to think that's what you need to do?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It really makes me super bummed to my core. It makes me angry. Like, I'm generally not a violent person, but if I saw a guy hit a girl, I wouldn't even hesitate. I would just run over there. That's not what I'm into at all. I hate that shit. I hate a wife beater. Fuck you if you hit girls. Like, it just drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And so I feel so bad for her because she had a, you know, kind of a marquee matchup. It's her first real big matchup. And
it was supposed to be the first televised fight on ESPN. That was the big thing about it. That's why they put Paige in her as the first.
And so Paige gets fucked over this too, if they don't find her a replacement opponent.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, it just sucks. I think it sucks all around.
Yeah, I asked Paige about it today. I was like, "Yo, so what's going on with that?" And she was like, "Yeah, we found out, you know, the night before. They gave us a call and kind of told us, you know, they're like, it's not looking good because she, you know, fractured orbital or whatever in her face." And I was like, "So are they going to get you a new opponent or what?" He's like, "As of right now, I don't know. I think they're looking." So she might still get to do her. Be the first on Fox and the first on ESPN. So,
yeah,
yeah. I think that's a big deal to her. So hopefully they find a replacement.
Yeah, I hope so. But I thought that was kind of a bummer. I know it's not like a huge point. Like, we don't have a ton to discuss about it. But
yeah,
you know, I hate seeing that, man. I hate seeing it.
How did Cynthia Calvallo?
Yeah.
Did she have like a war, or was it pretty dominant one side?
So she fought on the UFC Fight Night Magny Ponzinibbio card from this last weekend.
Yeah.
Her fight was it was pretty dominant, man. I mean, she
didn't really get hurt or anything, right?
No, she didn't get hurt. I mean, they could throw her in there.
I think that's the fight to do because there is a history there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, well, at least that's the rumor. I don't know, you know, for sure, but the rumor is that when she showed up to Alpha Male, that was kind of one of the reasons why Paige was like, "I'm out of here." Because homegirl,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Rumor is that homegirl was beating up Paige. I don't know. I'm just saying it's a rumor. I don't know. Paige is my teammate. I'm gonna say Paige won those fights.
But like maybe she was just going harder than
something like that, right? So there was something there.
A little tension.
And, you know, I mean, there, of course, this is all speculation. And you know, some of the attention might have gone towards Cynthia that used to be on Paige. So, you know, I think there's something there. I think that's a fight to make. I mean, it's, you know, that you got when they had the whole Alpha Male guy for the Contender Series, and they had, you know, Austin.
Yeah.
That they went with that angle right there, and the, yeah. Austin never even trained at Alpha Male, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So why wouldn't they go for that angle? Boom, for this fight.
Yeah. Okay. First, let's pronounce her name right. Calvillo.
Calvillo.
Yes.
Okay. We'll change okay. it.
Cynthia Calvillo. I liked her when she first came onto the UFC scene.
Yeah, she she's
from,
scrappy.
She's from San Jose.
Yeah.
So I had a little, you know, I had a little a connection there. And yeah. I was like, ooh, this girl's tough. And then she got popped for smoking the devil's lettuce.
Yep. Shaking hands with the devil.
That's right. She's out there.
Wait, no, that's masturbating, right?
I don't know.
Oh, it hurts.
Never mind. Shaking hands with the devil is masturbating?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
Caught you shaking hands with the devil.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's, yeah that's well, something.
That's not what she was doing. I apologize.
No. So she got suspended. And then, you know, her fight, the fight that she got suspended from,
mm-hmm.
if I remember correctly, it was like she lost the decision. And it was a decision against Carla Esparza, and she lost the decision, and she was being kind of a punk about it. She was just like,
I remember she was
that she won, and I watched the fight, and I was like, it seemed pretty obvious to me that Carla Esparza won, but you know, so she had that, and then she comes back on this one, and she misses weight for this fight. Yeah. She comes in at 118 pounds, so I think you might be right. It's maybe a good matchup because you have kind of like the good versus the evil, right? Yeah. She's kind of like the bad girl, and Paige is the good girl.
I mean, she missed weight at 115, so coming up to 125.
Yep.
Might work.
That might be fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I would watch that. I'd watch the shit out of that. It'd
be a good story, you know? A good little build-up they can use to add. I mean, why am I doing the UFC's job? Fuck them. I know why. Because I'm the next Brendan Schaub, guys. I don't know if you know this, but me and my buddies, Joe Rogan, we're going to do comedy down at the Helium.
Mm-hmm.
I hope all my fans on this podcast come out to my shows and sell them out, because I want to be a validated comedian too.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I don't know why I just started taking shots
tickets
at them. Yeah, you're fucking, yeah, dude.
Guest list.
More than welcome.
Sweet. VIP. I need like a drink ticket too.
I don't know. Schaub just annoys me. I don't even know why I started talking shit about him.
He annoys me too. It's okay, man. You're not alone.
I feel like I heard him say something this past weekend, and it just infuriated me.
You know, bums me out about the thing that bothers me the most is I don't really like Brendan Schaub,
yeah.
but he ends up having podcasts with Theo Von, the comedian, who I really love.
I really love Theo.
And so that bums me out, and he's got this whole thing with them. Oh, man.
Dude, really I stopped listening to Fighter and the Kid a long time ago, so like I don't.
Well, but I follow Theo Von on Twitter, and he reposts things that happen on their show with him. And I'm like, oh, man, I should go listen, but I just can't do it. I hate Brian Callen so much.
Callen's his voice. He's obnoxious, too.
Yeah.
Very obnoxious.
He's obnoxious. I'm not into him at all.
I'm not into any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, since we're talking about Cynthia Calvillo, and we're here on the UFC Fight Night Magni Ponzinibbio card.
Segway.
That's the new thing.
I'm trying to make something catch, you know? I feel like we need like a catchy thing for our show. Like something where it's like, and this segment comes in. Like, you know? I feel like that's what we're missing. Like we need like an official. Like,
we need a segment.
You know what I mean?
Like, I think we found our calling in the last episode. We need to do TV show pitches because clearly we're fucking geniuses.
Yeah.
The Saps.
The Saps is a
hashtag
good
the
show.
Saps. What's up?
I still say they're brothers. Like that's I was legitimately sitting on my couch thinking about, I'm like, they're fucking brothers. Like in my mind, I was like, once you told me that, that's just all that registered.
Uh-huh.
And I was going, I can't believe they're fucking brothers. And I went, wait, no, they're not. Like I was like arguing with them. I'm like, but yeah.
Arguing with yourself about the Saps?
A little bit, yeah. I was like, well, I was fucking elevated to a umpt degree.
Well, but live studio audiences that have to be silent can't be wrong. So, that's really our calling. We just got to find MMA, MMA and sports-based TV shows Not for TV, for HBO.
Someone please isolate that clip and then like send it to Bob and Warren Sapp.
Right.
And let them know and hashtag the Saps.
Yeah, right. Hashtag the Saps. Yeah. That's pretty good.
But anyway, sorry for cutting you off. Argentina. UFC.
Segway. So there were a couple good, couple really fun fights on this card. I think the fight that stood out the most to me, aside from the co-main event and the main event, was there's a new guy on the scene, Johnny Walker.
Yeah.
He seems like completely insane. He's like, he makes crazy eyes at the camera. He was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a weirdness about him that I kind of love. I kind of love it.
Interesting.
When he was making these weird faces at the camera, I was like, is this guy like, does he know how funny he looks right now?
Is he like trying to look tough? Kind of.
No. I think he knew that it was goofy. I think he gets it. I think he knows that his weird face, like the weird looks he does, are weird, and he seems to be into it.
Okay.
But first of all, he is a big boy. He's he's light heavyweight, but could probably fight at heavyweight. Yeah. Big guy, and he took on Khalil Roundtree, and Khalil Roundtree, people, I feel like he gets a lot of hate.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know. It seems like people don't take him super seriously. Because
that's interesting.
Coming off of what was like coming off the Ultimate Fighter, he had a couple losses in the show, and then he made his way on the scene, and he went immediately KO, but he was still just 6-2, and I don't think people really thought he was the real deal until he knocked out Gokhan Saki.
Yeah.
Like you knock out Gokhan Saki and people are going to start paying attention.
Yeah.
I mean, they put him in there basically.
Sacrificial lamb.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they were like, this guy can afford a loss. 7-2. He goes 7-3. Nobody's going to care. And then he knocks out Gokhan Saki and they're like, hey, let's give him a nobody and see what he can do.
Yeah.
And boy.
Fucked up.
As Michael Scott would say, oh, the turntables. It was not good for him. And Johnny Walker, there were two strikes in this fight that were super duper loud. Khalil Roundtree throws a kick and it sounded like a goddamn gunshot.
Yeah.
It was the loudest thing I'd ever heard. It was so crazy. Yeah. You know, people are always saying like, oh, those ones that make the slap, they don't hurt. It's the ones that make a thud, da da da.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, if you've ever been kicked in the leg with a foot or with a shin, they both hurt.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Sure
it doesn't feel good. And if someone who can really, really, really kicks you, they can definitely break your leg.
Yep.
Like 100%. But this kick, I mean, if it was a slap, it was the loudest slap I'd ever heard. And if Khalil Roundtree broke his foot, I would definitely believe it.
Yeah.
He kicked this dude so goddamn hard. And the guy even acknowledges it, like leans down, rubs his leg, and makes like a weird O face.
Yeah.
It was just like, man, this guy is so bizarre.
Really?
But he gets Khalil Roundtree in the tightest of tie plums. And
yeah, I saw this.
He unleashed this devastating elbow. He just like pulled back and just,
called out the hellbow.
Ooh, it was hellacious for sure. Like cracked him right on the side of the head.
Yeah.
And Khalil Roundtree went down tree.
I was going to say, did he fall like a big tree?
Oh, he did. He went down. Homeboy goes down. Two more shots for good measure. And it was the weirdest interview after the fight. He's getting interviewed and there's a translator because they're in Argentina. Jimmy Smith asks a question and the dude is so excited he doesn't let the translator translate. He just grabs the mic from him and starts answering the question. This dude is nuts.
Yeah
So I kind of like him.
I'm a guy to keep our eye on, huh?
Maybe. It could be kind of fluky, right? Because he wins the fight in a tie plum with an elbow. Like, you never know.
Yeah.
Like, he was clearly way bigger than Khalil Roundtree, and so maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. But Khalil Roundtree looks good getting off the bus. So, I mean, it's not like he's a wimpy dude or anything.
No, for sure. But, for sure.
You know.
Khalil Roundtree used to be huge, too.
Right? He was a big guy.
Yeah, so he lost a shit ton of weight and got in super shape. But yeah, I mean, you know, anytime you get a big knockout like that, especially with a guy who started to, you know, show some promise, you got to wonder, like, okay, now you're welcome to the show.
Yeah.
But check out this bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with him next. What do you know his record?
No, because he doesn't have a goddamn Wikipedia page.
He needs two more UFC fights.
At least. He needs somebody to get out there and just make him one. I'm assuming, I mean, it's got to be similar to Clear Roundtree's. I mean, yeah. I should have looked it up because I'm a professional, sort of. No, I should have looked it up. But you ever go on a fighter's Wikipedia page and look at their picture? Like the picture that's posted that on their page?
Yeah, it's like a random, like, fucking...
Some of them.
Yeah.
Some of them are random. Khalil Roundtree's is not fucking random. Khalil Roundtree's looks like a goddamn GQ ad. What is this guy doing? Or like some sort of like modeling picture. Yeah.
He's like, this is, look at him. Definitely he's the best picture he could have of himself.
Yeah, he's all oiled up. He's standing in front of a black brick wall, and he's got a punching bag to his side. He's like,
that's called fucking marketing, sir.
I guess, man. He's just over here in his compression tights, trying to look cool. Like, man, he really went for it. If you want to see a real, like, GQ'd up photo of a fighter, Khalil Roundtree, your Wikipedia page is killing it, bro. Wikipedia pages always crack me up. You ever see Phil Davis's Wikipedia picture?
No.
He's a goddamn superhero.
Is he?
Well, just because, you know, he's got those giant, weird shoulders.
You know, I thought he looked kind of soft this past weekend, or this last weekend.
Oh, at the Bellator from last weekend.
Yeah.
You know, I missed the Bellator card. How did this fight go?
Well, I mean, okay, let's finish out the Argentina.
Okay, well, Argentina card, you had Ricardo Lamas coming back, and he was facing Darren the Damage Elkins.
Yep.
You know, this was a little more competitive than I expected it to be.
You didn't think it was going to be competitive?
No, I thought Ricardo Lamas was going to just steamroll Darren Elkins. Yeah. Darren Elkins is good at wrestling. Ricardo Lamas is pretty damn good at wrestling. And I kind of figured they'd stay on the feet and Ricardo Lamas would just pick him apart.
Feet, yeah.
That's what I figured. And he did kind of out-wrestle him in some positions. Yeah. I mean, he essentially just picked him up.
I just feel like Elkins is one of those guys you just can't ever count out, like, regardless.
Definitely not.
Like, he just, whatever skill he lacks... his heart makes up for it. It's almost like a Diego Sanchez, right?
Yeah, kind of, but like almost a more intelligent version because you can hear him listening to his corner.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
But like, I mean, it's like, you know, I don't think Diego Sanchez was ever that good of a fighter, honestly. Like, he had his little run and whatnot, but you know, he was always that dude. Like, he'll get out technique or whatever, I'll beat up, but then out of nowhere, fucking, he's yelling at you, come on, yes, yes, and fucking swinging for the thing. So that's Elkins, man. Like, no matter who he's fighting, I'm always going to be like, oh, well, he has a chance.
Yeah, well, he's certainly got better since he's gone to Team Alpha Male.
Yeah.
It made a big difference for him. I think that's huge. You know, so I thought, and correct me if I'm wrong, mm-hmm. I'm sure you heard about this, that... what was the dude from Team Alpha Male who was their Justin Buchholz?
Okay,
was their head coach after Bang left? Right, he was,
mm-hmm.
And he's then he was anymore. Gone from the gym. Right,
yeah,
he is not. He is back. He was in Darren Elkins' corner. He was there at the fight. He was in Cynthia's corner as well, I think. Or maybe it was Cynthia's and not Darren's. But they're with Team Alpha Male and Justin Buchholz in the corner, like.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they, you know, they might
did
have.
Did they mend the fences a little bit?
They might have. I mean, I don't know I don't even know what the issue really was. Maybe it was just with Cody or something, you know what I mean? Like, maybe there was just a beef with, like, one specific person. But I also know that Justin Buchholz was, he was making a return back to fighting. He had some fights out in Alaska. He fought this dude that Rick ended up fighting in the PFL, and he lost to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it. Where he was just like, I want to, you know, do less coaching, more of getting back to fighting or what. But yeah, I for sure, because I know I recall him talking shit on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. Maybe those dudes are all just kind of fucking shady and, you know, and fecal. Like,
maybe
they're fucking, they seem like they have no loyalty. Like, yeah. Everyone in Alpha Male, it's like, it's, you know.
Did you just use fecal as an adjective?
Yeah. Is that right?
That's kind of awesome.
Was it right?
Well, I mean, in this instance, yes.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I know words, right? And I know how to use them, but I can't pronounce a lot of them. And that fucking drives me nuts. Because in my mind, I pronounce it right. But then when I try to say it, it's like I have this weird thing. Like, I just... And it all goes back to my fucking Southern grandmother, okay?
You blame her.
I do, because...
For your vocal dyslexia.
Because I was fucking... Yeah, she was raising me, right? She was straight up Louisiana, black Louisiana, fucking, I'm talking offset, fucking.
I didn't realize you were such a stereotype.
Yeah,
black guy being raised by his grandma.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I was. And then when I first came up here, right, and when I started, because I started school up here, I had to take fucking speech classes because everything I was pronouncing, it was like a fucking southern, like,
yeah.
So I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Maybe I am just, you know, I get punched in the head too.
That's true.
So there is that. So I blame it on my grandmother, which I love her. So, yeah. You know, I mean, you guys are talking shit about my speech, talking about my grandmother. We're going to fight. That's a fight, sir.
I think it's charming. It's okay. But
cool.
But
I'm glad I used it.
The use of fecal there was
fine.
I'm
going to be honest. Like when I threw it out there, I was like, fuck, I don't know if that was the right word of using. But
well, I mean, it sort of is. In that instance, it works. It was good. Yeah. I was into that.
Okay.
That was cool. Fun.
Sweet.
I don't remember what we're talking about.
This is Team Alpha
Justin
Male.
Buckles. Yeah. Well, it seems like drama just follows Team Alpha Male no matter where they go. Yeah. You know, they always try to point the finger somewhere else. But why is there so much drama at your gym, bro?
Because like, they're all bros, and the way that Uriah has it set up is just because I've gone out there and trained, you know, and they have their little fighter houses, and they offer it to certain people that they feel like are gonna, you know, be something, and you know that can cause some tension. And I mean, it's fucking, they have a lot of people there too. It's almost like too crowded.
I believe that. I believe that.
And,
I mean,
cliques are cliques. You know, egos and egos, and testosterone, and testosterone equals chaos.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's just funny. They had all this hate for TJ, and now he's just out here champing it up, fighting.
Which, you know, TJ is kind of a piece of shit, though. Did you see his last interview? Or did you hear his fucking little clip? He's like, I just got paid a shit ton of money to kill a division. Like, all right, man, that's cool. But now let's stop and reflect on what the fuck you just said.
Yeah, yeah.
And look at all the fighters you just fucked over, and you're proud of it. Like, yeah, you made a lot of money, but let's go talk to the guy, you know, that was ranked 15th. That's now without a home.
Yeah, he should have chose his words a little bit more carefully. I think he probably feels a little defensive. Like, you know, they're like, here, you're going to take this fight. This is going to happen. If you win, we can close up the division. And he's thinking, oh, okay, cool. I'll button this thing up. Everybody will be happy. No big deal. I get to fight for a second title. Everybody will like that. And then instantly it's just like, what the fuck, dude? What the fuck, dude? And I'm sure he's just getting messages constantly.
And
he hasn't
cleaned out his own division. That's the most fucked up part about it.
Yeah, yeah. That is a pretty fucked up part about it. I don't like that either. You have all these
challengers, but yet you're like, I want to be champ champ because Conor was champ champ and DC's champ champ. So I want to be... Fuck you, man. I want to fight TJ now.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some people I want to see him fight. I mean, Marlon Moraes needs to fight him. Dominic Cruz needs to fight him. You know, that needs to happen again.
Yeah, so...
to a lesser extent, John Lineker, just because I feel like he'll lose, but...
Didn't Lineker already fight him?
Did they already fight?
Yeah, and he beat the fuck out of Lineker.
I was going to say, I mean, he kept taking him down. Yeah. Well,
that was
there are some fights.
That weird trip takedown that he was
doing. Oh, that's right, that's right. There's some interesting fights. I mean, there's a lot
of
people...
But even, Riviera, like, even though he lost to Moraes, what the fuck is his name again?
More eyes. More eyes.
Dude, I know, but like, for real, he needs to change his name.
We'll start the petition.
And it's just, I'm going to tweet him. Like, hey, man, I can't pronounce your fucking name. Can you do us a favor? You know, you're in America now. Let's change it up, buddy.
Just kidding. He's like the soft, like, you hear his interviews and he's like, he sounds like a 12-year-old. It's so ridiculous.
I would like to fight... TJ did
fight. Yes. Yeah. So, what the fuck were we just talking about?
So yeah, there's some fights to be made there. I hope Henry Cejudo beats the fuck out of him. Team Alpha Male. There's a bunch of drama. They're you know.
Yeah, I'm not a big Henry Cejudo fan. I don't know why.
I'm not
He's never
either.
Really done it for me.
I honestly had DJ winning that fight, but if anything, I want him to beat TJ just as a fuck you to the UFC and him. Because what's going to happen is it's going to make a confusion.
Yeah.
Because now, guess what? 25 is gone. Okay, well, we have this champion at 125. He just defeated the 135 champ. What's he going to do?
How come you don't get his belt? Technically, they're fighting under 135
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Belts on the line.
I think last episode, I wanted to say this, but I didn't get it out, was that what if they did something like that? Like
that's
boxing.
What they should do. That would be dope. Put both belts on the line. Yeah. I mean, you're under the limit, right?
Just like what they do with boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so fuck it.
I think it'd be cool. I would watch that. You know, I'd be way more inclined to watch it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not super excited about that fight, but...
But again, I think it also... Like, you know, we'll look back on it in history and everyone's like, oh, but there were, you know, there was a double champ. But when you really look at it, it's like, not really, because they didn't clean out their division.
Yeah.
They kind of just jump, like, leapfrogged in this, you know, stylistics and da 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 da. This is why I don't like MMA.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately. I really, like, if I can, I will do everything I can to not watch it, to not see it. Like, I'm surprised I'm still doing this fucking podcast. Like, I literally have come to hate the sport that I once fucking loved.
I think part of it is that we're forced to watch so much of it. There is just so much on, and you almost feel this sense of like this fellowship, right? Like you have to support it, and you have to watch all the cards. And it's so much more difficult now than it used to be.
It used to mean something.
Even when the UFC was like getting bigger and bigger and bigger, there were still fewer cards, and there was still a time when you'd get excited to watch fights on Access TV.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd still be excited for those cards. Yep. And now the people who are really looking for that inside baseball are watching LFA or Titan or whatever is on, you know. I mean, there are a few people who watch it all, but even I who you know how I am. I watch as much as I can.
Yeah.
I can't watch everything. Like, I couldn't watch Invicta the other night. It just wasn't possible.
Yeah.
I wanted to be watching it because there was a Portland fighter on that card I wanted to support. But, you know.
Her went to a draw?
No, she lost.
She lost?
Yeah.
I thought I saw a draw somewhere on Twitter. Mm. Fuck. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bummer.
But, you know. It's tough, man. It makes it really difficult. It makes it really difficult when the UFC has like, I think they have something like 9 shows over the next 8 weeks or something like that. And that's too much, man.
It's oversaturated. Like I said, it doesn't mean what it used to back in the day. Back in the day, it was like 1 or 2, you know, pay-per-views. And it was like, it was a big deal to have pay-per-views, you know? And like, I remember it always being like a big gathering, like at my dad's house.
Yeah, of course.
All the friends or whatever, or we're going over to another friend's or a barbecue, you know? And it was like fights that actually meant something.
Yeah.
You know, there were actually, you know, like, I'm not saying like not every fight doesn't count. I mean, every fight means something, but they were just, I don't know.
It's hard when you
miss the old days, and I sound like an old man. I get it. And I also want everyone to understand, it's not that I hate MMA as a spectating sport. Like, I still love doing it. Like, it's my passion. Don't get me wrong, but it's everything else outside of it. I try to escape. Like, everyone, I want to unfollow everyone on Twitter that talks about MMA. It's so annoying.
I started blocking or muting anything that was political in my feed. Like,
smart
whether
man.
I agreed with it or not, I'd just mute it or block it. If it was like too aggressive, I'd block it. If it was just like something that wasn't that big of a deal that somebody retweeted, I'd mute it.
Yeah.
And like, I'm getting this close to muting or blocking somebody who I like, and he's a Northwest guy, and I don't want to do it because he's a nice dude.
Oh, but, I know what you're talking about.
But it's so hard, man. It's so hard because he posts a lot of very political shit. And
does he
like
to spearfish in his off time?
No.
Someone else.
This guy might have been in a cult when he was a kid.
Oh, okay. You know. They go
a little bit hand in hand.
They talk to each other.
Yeah, so. Nate Corey. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I like the guy. He's a super nice guy. But it's too much. It's too fucking
super
much.
Political,
so I get you on wanting to block people and unfollow people. I get it. Yeah. It makes sense to me. But I think down the line, we're going to see a lot less shows. I mean, things are definitely going to decrease because that's just, you know, it's peaks and valleys. That's what happens.
I hope.
But we'll see what happens. And like I've been saying for a long time, I think you'll see Bellator grow into something bigger, which will, you know, which will stimulate the sport as a whole. You know, the problem is right now you're going to continue to have like the flavor of the month fighter.
Yeah.
Right. That's going to always happen. Yeah. You know, you have, what's the dude's name? God, he's not even in the rankings anymore.
You talking about Bellator or UFC?
Darren Till. You have Darren Till, and you know, he just suddenly bursts on the scene, and and now he's, you know, he becomes this larger than life figure, and it was kind of, I mean, really, it felt like flavor of the month, and and it just continues on. There's always somebody new that
Ben
Askren's
the flavor of the month.
Ben Askren, sure, or at one point Kevin Lee was like this big deal. Yeah. I mean, it continues to happen, and then there's a few guys that can stick around. Mm-hmm. Dustin Poirier, obviously Conor McGregor sticks around, but he kind of had the feel of a guy who could come and go.
Yeah.
But then he obviously, you know, shot to the fucking moon. But it happens all the time, and so
he might have a fall like Ronda.
There's a big difference between the two of them, though.
But I mean, like, in the sense of everyone's gonna go, okay, he's not the superstar that we once thought. And he's gonna start getting fucked up his next few fights.
Well, if he really plans to continue fighting mixed martial arts, he needs to have you got to get in there and fight at least once a year, right? Like,
yeah. Well, I think he's already come. Well, yeah, it does. Cerrone. Everyone's talking about the Cerrone thing, right?
Yeah. And then Dana has come out this week and said there's no truth to that. We all know Dana's full of shit all the time. Yeah. I thought that was kind of a. Is this really gonna happen?
Yeah, it's talking thing. They got to figure it out first. I mean, I you know, if that fight does happen, I see Cowboy beating Connor.
I want to say that I see Cowboy beating Connor, but I feel like Connor would be smart enough to exploit Cowboy's weaknesses, and if he stays off the ground, I think he could definitely stand with him.
See, that's where I see Cowboy taking him down.
There's definitely the potential for that.
Takes him down and submits him.
There's the potential for that, but Cowboy's not known for his takedowns. He's known for his submissions.
Exactly,
his submissions often come off his back.
Let's go back to the Rick Story fight.
Yeah.
What'd he do? Take him down. Go back to the Cowboy Oliveira fight. What'd he do? He took that guy down.
Mm-hmm.
He's been taking people down.
He does. He does for sure.
I'm saying, it's one of those things where, like, now, like, you're seeing Cowboy kind of a little bit. He's using a little bit of everything. It's not just, I'm going to stand here and kickbox with you. Oh, you took me down. And throw up some triangles.
You know, this is an interesting segue, I think. So you say Conor McGregor, I was saying he's got to fight once a year. He's got to do more fighting. You know, he's got to be out there doing stuff. Yeah. You got to be active if you want to be relevant. And beyond that, if you want to stay, you know, you want to stay on top of the game, obviously you have to be competing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get better just sitting around. That leads me to someone who they just announced is coming back at UFC 235.
Oh, yeah.
And that is Nick motherfucking Diaz.
Yeah.
Who's been out for 4 years.
Which is hilarious because he had that drug suspension for those 4 years.
He fights it, beats it,
and then decides not to
fight.
Yeah. So stupid. But I mean,
I think it's kind of awesome.
He's a weird dude, man. Because, like, I watch his Instagram, like, stories and shit. He's out there, bro.
He parties, though.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, and I don't know. I feel like when Nick Diaz was serious, but I don't think he used to party like that.
I don't think he did either.
And I think
I wonder if that's why he wants to fight again. I wonder if he wants to get back to that triathlon guy, training guy, always in the gym guy.
Yeah, he's always drinking or fucking rambling about stuff. He has staff in his elbow and shit and showing people.
That was the grossest was dripping disgusting. Staff. It was so nasty. Ugh.
But, like, he's just, he's out there, man. He's a fucking weird dude. But, like, I'd love it. And I love the possible matchup of Jorge Masvidal.
I think that's an incredible matchup because you're going to get someone who's going to be willing to stand with Nick Diaz.
And he's going to talk some shit.
They are going to talk a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Man.
Masvidal, I think, has the edge on that fight.
Well, I mean, simply based on activity, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Nick Diaz has been out a long-ass time.
Four years.
That's we rough. Don't really know what he's doing in the gym. Obviously, he's in the gym if he gets staff on his elbow. He's not just getting that on the bus.
Yeah. You know? I know he's been hanging around, what's his name a lot? Is it Josh Gordon? No, that's a football player.
Yeah.
Gordon Ryan.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's his boy.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, there's... It's one of the jiu-jitsu, or maybe it's AJ
Agazarm.
Whoever is that Florida boy something.
I think that's AJ Agazarm because Gordon Ryan is one of the guys from Danaher's.
Okay, so it's AJ.
Oh, that's not.
What?
Well, I mean, if you're. I'm just saying, if you can't compare. I
don't know. Listen, I don't care. These BJJ guys, I don't fucking care that much about them.
Like, all right.
They're not real fighters.
Well, I'm just saying.
That's going to piss off a lot of people.
It is. But I'm just saying, if I had to choose on who I was rolling with and they were like, hey, you can go hang out with Gordon Ryan or you go hang out with AJ, I go hang out with Gordon Ryan all day.
Fair enough. But my point was he's rolling around with a jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah,
Yeah,
so for sure. But he's got to be boxing somewhere. I mean, this is a guy who used to box with Andre Ward. Like, come on, man. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Richard Perez, his boxing coach. Don't forget it. Yeah. They're always talking about that.
Good old duct tape hands.
Right. So, you know, I think that's really cool to see him coming back. I wonder why. I wonder if it's money related or if it's, or like you said, maybe like we're saying, he's partying a lot. Maybe he wants to kind of scale it back. I mean, he's not getting any younger.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true.
And maybe that'll motivate his brother to get back in there and fight again. I like to see the Diaz brothers fighting, man.
Yeah.
They are flavors of the month.
Those huge Diaz fans.
Dude, like love or hate their personas, like the way they are. Like, you know, Chael talked, he got so mad about Joe pulling back the curtain on Colby Covington or whatever. There's no fucking curtain with the Diaz brothers. No. What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
They're not, this is not an act. These guys are not joking. Like they really had a brawl in a cage on CBS.
Yep.
You know, they really threw full cans of energy drinks at Conor McGregor. Like, these guys don't care. They're crazy.
You see that?
Like, they're nuts, man. and they don't care. Like, they would fight outside of the arena.
Did you see the one with where Nate Diaz slapped Clay Guida?
No.
Yeah, dude, it wasn't that long ago. They're both at some, like, you know, regional amateur show for their fighters, whatever, and they ran into each other, and Diaz fucking slaps him, and, you know, like, what? Yeah, Clay Guida's like, motherfucker. Like, yeah. Clay Guida's like, I'll beat your ass again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he did beat him. But, So, yeah, man. Yeah, it fucks with that fight. I'm excited, you know, I hope Nick comes back to form too, because he's on like a 5-fight losing streak or something.
Yeah, he had the no contest with Anderson Silva. Anderson Silva got popped for the steroids. Yep. You know, he took some weird fights, man. That's part of the problem was he was just taking fights like willy nilly.
But they're all big fights.
Exactly.
He had the Condit fight. He had the GSP fight. He had
that Condit fight, man.
The Silva fight.
He had a bunch of fights, but I mean, they're all big name fights, but it just seemed like it didn't go his way. And quite honestly, he didn't really seem like himself in all of those fights either. It was weird. He was getting weirder as the fights went on.
Yeah.
You know, to the laying down in the cage with Anderson Silva, like, you know,
that was kind of cool.
Yeah, but it was weird, but it was so funny.
Cause I heard, it was a Joe Schilling was talking about it. Cause he works with those guys. Mm-hmm. And, cause like, if you remember the lead up to the fight, this is the first time like we ever saw, and everyone's like, oh, whoa, Nick Diaz is being really respectful. And you know, he was all like, you know, doing the bowing things whenever we saw Anderson Silva shake his hands and stuff. Cause he's like, you know, he's a real martial artist. And then I guess, the day of the fight, they're backstage or whatever. And Joe goes, Nick looks at me and goes, or looks at us. He's like, I think I'm gonna fuck with him. Should I fuck with him? I think I'm gonna fuck with him. And like, that was his decision. Like, I'm gonna go fuck with him when I'm out there. Like, that's his little game plan.
Right. So just to clarify on his record, he was on a ridiculous win streak when he fought Carlos Condit, a fight I personally thought he won.
Yep.
He then goes in and has that weird fight with George St. Pierre, mm-hmm. loses that fight, talks shit while he's getting beat up.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to see that fight again. But
I feel like he's always done that, though, even if he is getting, because it's usually a wrestler that's beating him, right? And I always feel like he's drawing.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless of winning or losing.
Yeah, for sure. And then he had the weird fight with Anderson Silva, where it was a decision for Anderson Silva that got overturned. And way closer fight, I think, than people expected.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was fucking amazed.
So realistically, before that,
you could almost argue that he won that fight.
You could definitely argue that he won that fight.
So pretty much, you can argue he won those last three fights, two of them.
GSP got
him. For sure beat him up.
Yeah. But,
you know, everyone knows GSP cheated.
Yeah.
According to Nick.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He had spies. He knew what I was going to do.
Well, as Kenny Florian once said, he's a Reuter and a greaser, allegedly.
Did he say that?
Yeah, we've talked about it before.
No, I don't remember that. He said it like that?
there's a BJ Penn interview where he's talking about George St. Pierre, and he said, Kenny told me he's a Reuter and a greaser.
Oh, shit. Like, I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. So allegedly, Kenny Florian said that about him. That's and then there was the whole Vaseline gate, you know, putting the Vaseline in the, whatever. Anyway.
Wait, did BJ Penn say that before the fight?
Yeah.
Before the grease gate?
Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah.
Why am I now, today's old, to just now hear about this?
Well, it doesn't really matter because that was like 8 years ago.
That, well, now, you know what? I take back everything about GS. He for sure was on the juice. Well,
allegedly.
Nope.
Nope. But yeah, I mean, before that though, before those three weird fights, Nick Diaz beats up BJ Penn, knocks out Paul Daly, submits Cyborg, has the pretty dominant fight against KJ Nunes, fights Mock Sakurai, he fought Marius Zaromski when that dude was all the rage before he was on the downturn, he was
kicking everyone in the head,
beat the shit out of Frank Shamrock. He beat up a lot of dudes, man. He really did.
Yeah, when he was going through that strike first run, everyone's like, Diaz, GSP, that's the fight. That's the fight.
Well, actually, I mean, when he left the UFC, he was on a winning streak.
Well, because he beat up BJ Penn and...
No, when he left the UFC in the day, he had fought Josh Neer, subbed him. He had fought Gleison Tibau, TKO'd him. Then he went and fought for Pride and finishes Gomi with the Goga Plata.
Yeah.
And like... He is mind-boggling. So
imagine if his career was handled differently.
You know, like if he had someone there to be like, "Hey, I'm gonna drive you around. I'm gonna be your permanent fixer."
Yeah,
I don't think he could do it.
Well, not even that. Just like think if he go, what? What'd you say?
I think he'd like you know he tried to stab the guy or something. I think he'd.
I meant like say like he decided not to leave the UFC.
Uh huh.
Right, and he was going on that run. He could have been champ during that time, right?
Definitely during that time.
Yeah.
Well,
who was it?
GSP at that time.
I think he beats GSP back then.
Maybe, but when GSP was scary, he was scary. But back then, he was fighting smaller dudes too. Like he could have. I was wondering if Nick cut as much weight as he really could. He's a big guy, but
he fought at 155 before.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, because Nick Diaz at 155 is a terrifying prospect.
Yeah, although, but I mean,
although
know,
is
age,
that too much weight to cut? Who knows?
You got to think how young he was too.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, here we are talking about Nick Diaz, and we're going through this list of fights, and this is why he's still relevant in a sense.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, I see people talking shit about it. Like, ooh, and then after Nick loses his fifth fight in a row or fourth fight in a row, you'll still hear all the Diaz fans complaining and da-da-da.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we like him.
Yeah, exactly. There's Conor apologists. Fun. There's GSP apologists.
I think it's fun to argue that a Diaz win or loss. Like, it's fun to me, like, especially, like, the Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz one. I love arguing about it. Like, no, Nate won.
Yeah, right.
Having everyone coming back at you or,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, get all mad.
Yeah, or, the you know, the Carlos Condit one or whatever. Yeah, it's just, or, I don't know.
Yeah, or, like, when Johnny Hendricks beat GSP and the score was wrong. You know, that'll happen.
Which is hilarious because I had GSP winning that.
Speaking of Johnny Hendricks...
Yeah. Yeah.
So did you hear what happened to him?
At the bare knuckle?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got knocked out.
Yeah, he got knocked out. But
by a gay porn star.
Yeah, but that guy was like his replacement opponent.
Yeah, like Brandon Ward is.
Yeah, hurt. So you go in to fight Brandon Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Tough fight.
Yeah,
quite honestly.
Which I think he got lucky because I think Brandon Ward would have fucking starched him.
No, totally, absolutely. But then you go in and your replacement opponent beats you. Come on, man, yeah. Johnny Hendricks, what happened to you, man? Call it a day.
Juicy juice,
right? But. Chris Lieben may have found his sport at bare knuckle boxing.
Well, Phil Baroni.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he Chris Lieben did look good. He had he was using technique and wasn't, you know, wasn't just brawling. He actually boxed.
Oh, totally, man. So. And that knockout blow was legit. Yeah. So you can see that gif on the internet.
Yeah.
Get out there.
Anything else for the UFC before we jump to this Bellator real quick?
Santiago Ponzinibbio looked really good in his fight with Neil Magny. He jabbed him in the eye, and Neil Magny never recovered. Knocked him out in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Probably could have ended it sooner.
Everyone was saying that the corner should have thrown in the towel and this and that.
I don't know about that.
Well, it's hard, man. And the thing that a lot of people also got to remember is they're fighting for full pay or half pay, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine showing up for work and you have a full work day, right? Regardless of whatever. And the outcome of that work day, like say you didn't do something as well and you lose half your check for the week.
Dude, imagine if you make minimum wage. Imagine if you make like $12 an hour.
Yeah.
And you have to go and make $6 an hour.
Right.
At a job you hate.
There you go. You're better at this.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sucks.
So, you know, I mean, you can't fault the corners. I feel like if you want the sport to be safer, I think flat pay will help with that decision a lot. Because then it's like, it doesn't matter. There's no consequences here.
Yeah.
If you throw in the towel, you throw in the towel. You don't have to worry about the fighter getting mad at you.
Go balls to the wall if you think that's what it's going to take.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Those opportunities become more precious, right?
So a lot of people fight safer because of the fact of fuck, you know. I can admit it. I did that one fight. I was like, I fought to try and win and not to fight. I fought to not to lose instead of fight to win, and I lost.
Yep, comes back to bite you in the ass. Yeah. That's what'll happen. Well, I don't think Neil Magny did that. I think he tried to stay in the fight as much as he could. He was moving backwards the whole time. You can't win a fight moving backwards like that unless you're the guy landing the jabs. You know, your jab, move. But it wasn't lateral movement. He was just like moving backwards. He's moving up against the cage. Like you're the bigger, longer fighter. What the fuck are you doing? You know, and I get it. Your eyes fucked up. You're seeing double, you know, and it's hard to fight with one eye closed because now your depth perception's all off. But Santiago Ponzinibbio is no joke, man. He's really a tough fighter. He can knock just about anybody out. He had a hell of a war with Mike Perry, which, I mean, honestly, if Mike Perry couldn't take the punches that he could take, probably would have been done in the first or second. That was I mean, it was something. I think Santiago Ponzinibbio is going to have to start. They're going to have to find a new opponent for him. Somebody a little higher ranked. They have him ranked at 10 in the UFC rankings. Magny was 8, so maybe they flip-flop and now he's 8. You know, you put him in there against a guy like maybe Stephen Thompson and see what he can do. Because Stephen Thompson could expose you if you're just not a good striker. So
yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I think that'd be a fun one to look at. But I'm looking at these rankings and I'm thinking Nick Diaz is going to come in off a 4-year layoff and he's going to fight the number 9 ranked welterweight.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Yeah, and there's so many fights I want to see. Tell me you don't want to see Robbie Lawler, Nick Diaz rematch.
Yes and no. It depends. It depends where they're at. The reason why I say yes and no is because I like them both. I like them both too,
and I don't care if they're both coming off of losses. One's coming off.
I just don't want one of them to cut or get cut or something stupid.
I feel like that's an uncuttable fight. I feel like that fight's not going to get anybody cut. I would love to see that. I would love to.
Diaz boxes him up and finishes him.
Maybe
a la Paul Daly.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, Robbie Lawler might try to use his wrestling. You never know.
No, you won't. Get submitted. What are you talking about?
I'm just trying to make it fun, man. Whatever. And I wouldn't mind. I really wouldn't mind watching Darren Till try to fight Nick Diaz. That might be fun. Yeah. Even though Darren Till's big boy.
Diaz fought 85.
Yep. So there's some fights I want to see. So I hope Nick Diaz comes back.
I would love to see him fight Mike Perry.
Mike Perry. Yeah. I thought you said Harry. I was like, Harry who?
Yeah, I think Mike Perry would be fun.
Yeah, I know. Mike Perry would be real fun, but I think Mike Perry would get worked.
Exactly.
Talk about flavors of the month. Mike fucking Perry. This guy is Baskin Robbins 31 flavors out the door. This dude, I don't get it. Hell yeah, man.
I don't know.
Who's Mike Perry beating now, man? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be a full-on Mike. He has a puncher
chance. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he has a puncher's chance, but I mean, we're talking about.
Is he ranked in the top 15?
No.
Okay. Well, yeah.
So no, but I'm saying they're still giving him big fights, or is he? Let's see. What Mike Perry. 170, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nope, he's not in there, and I don't think he should be.
No.
And he just, I mean, look, he came in. Everybody was excited about him. He had the he had the Jake Ellenberger knockout. He had the Alex Reyes knockout. And then he loses to Ponce Nibio. Then he loses to Max Griffin. Then he gets a split decision win over Paul Felder. What? And then he loses to Donald Cerrone. So,
yeah, he's close to being out.
You know, he's out there. Lost to Alan Joban. I mean, come on. Like, you can't beat up Alan Joban for us, bro? Trying to steal our name?
Son of a bitch.
I can't be a fan. Yeah. Mike Perry, flavor of the month. He's done. Calling it right now.
All
right. Your boy Mike Winklejohn made the wrong decision. That was wrong, Mike Winklejohn. You're a fucking idiot. That was stupid. Cowboy Cerrone is like, come on, man. Even Cowboy Cerrone loses a bunch of fights, he's still going to be Cowboy Cerrone. Like, people are still going to buy the fights to watch him fight. Yeah. You know what I mean? Nobody's coming to watch tattoo face Mike Perry fight. With your girlfriend in your corner. Get the fuck out of here, Mike Perry.
Are they back together?
I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know.
Flavor of the month. He's
done. All right.
He's melted. He's over.
Okay. Let's get into these Bellator fights real quick. Okay. So we had the Truth, Emmanuel Sanchez. He fought against Patricky. Is it Patricky?
Little Pitbull.
Which is, you know what? I didn't realize that Little Pitbull fought Ben Henderson at 155.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know. I thought it was the other Pitbull. So that's kind of interesting, since he's only 5'5".
He's a little guy. He's a
fucking, yeah, little Pitbull. So.
That dude, he's tough, man. He's clearly the tougher of the two Pitbulls.
He wants the Bellator to do a trade with Jose Aldo for Jose Aldo.
Yeah.
That's who he wants to fight, yeah.
I'd like to see it.
I'd like to see it too.
I think the little Pitbull could have held his own in the UFC.
I think he can knock out anybody at 145.
Oh, 100%.
He's just like a Chad Mendes, right? Yeah. But maybe even better?
Probably. Scary. I mean, on paper he's better. I mean, what's Chad Mendes done?
Wise, and you know, he has, you know, Chad Mendes does hit hard, but I think Pitbull has a little bit better striking.
Pitbull's got belts, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yeah, I think he's on like a crazy, like he has like six title defenses. Anyways, point is that was the main event. Then the co-main was
Phil Davis.
It wasn't Phil Davis. They opened the card with Phil Davis, and he fought some tough Russian guy. That guy was pretty good. I want to say it was Ryan Couture versus the Israeli Batman.
Really? That was the co-main?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me about it.
What are you doing out there, Rich Cho?
What are you doing out there, Ryan Couture? Fucking retire. yeah. So I mean, there's a few fights. I mean, nothing too crazy. Phil Davis, you know, Phil Davis got lucky. I think he lost that fight, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. This guy actually took Phil Davis down, like suplex, but he had his back, picked him up, slammed him. You know, I felt like he was out striking Phil. Phil didn't look good until the last round. Third round, he comes in, takes the guy down. As soon as he established the takedown on this guy, he was able to get, you know,
no.
Straight. What?
He did beat him.
What?
This says Vadim Nemkov defeats Phil Davis.
I thought it said Phil Davis won.
Split decision.
Sure.
That's what it says.
They interviewed Phil.
I don't know. That's what it says on Wikipedia.
Oh, well, then they have it right. Then he should have won. So yeah. Maybe I got it wrong in my mind. Because for some reason, I thought Phil Davis won. But, yeah, so this guy beat Phil Davis. This guy's legit, man.
Yeah.
Legit Russian guy. And he, you know, Phil did have a chance to submit him in the third. He had, you know, the Kimuras. And he just, like, as soon as it hit the ground, Phil just, like, cut through his guard like nothing. Like, he was doing whatever he wanted on the ground. It was just tried to kickbox too much.
That's so frustrating.
And he's fucking...
You're Phil Davis.
Yeah, he's terrible at striking. Like, stop.
Take the guy down.
You have pillow hands, man. So, yeah, and then... So, the Ryan Couture fight. I don't know what Bellator is trying to do with this guy. I understand that his dad is Randy Couture.
He's got that name value.
You know, Bellator loves... famous dads, right? Because even that the Batman guy, his son fought on the card. You have fucking Hoist Gracie's son signed to Bellator. You have you know, fucking
Baby Slice.
Now we got Ryan Couture's fucking. I'm gonna ask Chell to pretend to be my dad or something.
Have him adopt you.
Yeah. There you go. Chell, tell everyone I'm like your fucking. I don't know.
You know what? You don't even ask him. the way that you would get Chael to be on board and the way he would respect it the most is if you started doing interviews saying that you are Chael's adopted son. Well, I'm Chael Sonnen's adopted son. My name's Jake Sonnen. Like, just go on that whole thing. Like, that would be your thing, man. Yeah. And there's no way he could hate on you for it because that's his fucking move.
You know what I have a problem with that? Is because Dylan Danis, right, is the ultimate water boy.
Okay? Yeah.
He's Connor. So I would essentially be stooping down to that level.
Using Sonnen, a better fighter.
Yeah, but I'd be using Sonnen to get, you know, to get
to
catapult my career. Like, who was it, Vitor Belfort? He used to use the Gracie name when he first started.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I'm gonna text Chael after this. I'm like, hey, I'm gonna change my last name to Sonnen, so I can start getting some fights. But anyways, reason why I bring up Ryan is because, I mean, I don't have a fight with him, but that's who we're trying to get. So
you wouldn't mind fighting him?
We're my manager's talking. You know,
I don't like all these welterweight fights.
Why?
Because I feel like 155 is the spot for you, bro.
You got Thanksgiving, man.
I know, but who cares about Thanksgiving if you get a better fight and you have better results at 155? Look what you did at 155, and your last weight cut went so well. You look so good, man.
You don't understand how hard that weight cut was,
But you did say it was the easiest cut to 155 you ever made. But
the problem is I was having problems during that week leading up to it. I haven't told anyone about this, but I was getting like bloody noses just randomly. Like we'd be grappling, right? And I'll just start, my nose would start bleeding. My nose never bleeds. So it was stuff like that. Like, I started getting like a lot of bloody noses, and that was kind of like, I was hitting mitts with the fucking, the week before I flew out, like that Monday and, middle of the mitt session, my nose just started pouring and I couldn't stop it. I don't know what the fuck I did wrong. I don't know if I wasn't eating enough iron or what it was, but I was just bleeding.
Yeah, but it sounds like that's something you might be able to work on. I mean, you get with Scott Plested, you talk to him about it a little bit, maybe talk to your physician, find out what's up.
I did talk to him. I mean, he thought it was because I was going to the sauna or something too much, and it was, I don't know. But anyways, the reason why I would kind of want to do like a 175 is my first fight back. It's just,
That I understand. That I understand.
It's going to be over a year by the time I fight, you know?
Yeah.
And doing that to my body.
I'm just putting it out there that I feel like 155 is a good spot for you.
Yeah, me too. Me too. You know, 165 would be better.
Obviously. 165 would be dope. Lead the charge. Come on, Bellator.
Right, exactly.
Make it happen.
But so Ryan Couture is definitely in my sights. He's in my sights. And it's, you know, it's not because he's an easy fight. He's not. He's a grinder. He's a wrestler. If anything, it's a stylistic matchup disaster for me. Right?
Yeah, maybe.
If you on paper, right?
Yeah.
But you know, he has a name,
mm-hmm.
and there might be a storyline there. I don't know.
Maybe
Randy Couture is his dad. Chael Sonnen is my stepdad. Yeah, is no, my adopted father. But you know what I mean, like, because you know, Chael looks up to Randy, talks about him all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there might be something we could play off there. But that's for sure a guy.
Yeah, like Chael's protege and Randy's protege kind of deal.
Yeah, you know, I want to send him with the proper retirement. And, you know?
You know what I like about you, Jake? This is I'll pay you this compliment. I've never met a fighter who's more willing to call out people just in general. You're like, I'll fight Ryan Couture. I'll fight this guy. I'll fight that guy. I'll fight this guy. You know who I'm going to fight? You know who I'm going to fight? That should be your nickname, Jake. You know who I'm going to fight, Smith? That should be your nickname. And I kind of love it because you're just not, you just don't care. It's similar to what we're seeing with Ben Askren. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I feel like too many fighters are playing the fucking political game too much.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I got to talk to my management, my team, and see what's right and if the matchup makes sense. I mean, we all got to fight each other eventually, right?
Yep. Eventually.
Like I got maybe 6 years left in this shit, so I might as well get as many concussions as I can.
Yeah.
You know, so let's just.
Well, and if you can keep it on the feet with Ryan Couture, you're not going to get a concussion.
No,
you're
but, you know,
fucking knockout.
My point is, like, even when it comes to, like, the scarier matchups, right, than Ryan. I'm not saying Ryan's not a scary matchup, but you get my point.
Yeah,
I get it. Scarier guys who are dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, I'm starting to make more and more peace with the fact that, you know, we're all, you know, mortal.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fact. Like, I chose a dumb profession. I'm going to probably be dumb later. So I might as well just fucking just do it, you know?
Yeah, do all you can.
Just make my money.
I got you. Well, yeah. Brian Couture gets the win.
Oh, and Sanchez, or Emmanuel Sanchez.
Emmanuel Sanchez. And
he lost a decision.
Patricio.
Yeah, Patricio. So Patricky is the other one.
Yeah, he's the big one.
So Patricio, it was a good fight. It was a good scrap, man. You got to watch it. I
saw the highlights. I saw the, you know, I saw the highlight clips and stuff.
I mean, if you look at Emmanuel's face, like, that doesn't tell the story of the fight. It's just, you know, Pitbull hits hard. But, man, there were some fucking exchanges. And it was good, man. It was a good scrap. I would like to see a rematch. I mean, I can see where you gave it to Pitbull, and I can see where you can give it to Sanchez. So it's a very close fight. It just kind of depends on how you score, like, the first, you know, three rounds.
He certainly didn't. It wasn't like a clean sweep on rounds. He got a 48-46, 48-47, 48-47.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, you know, somebody gave him a 10-8 in there. But other than that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's still a tight, that's a tighter race for a unanimous decision. But yeah, after the fight, it certainly, if you're going on looks alone, yeah. Emmanuel Sanchez definitely lost.
Yeah.
But you know, man, he's, it doesn't always slick, tell the story. Yeah.
It was a great fight, man. It was a really good one. It was really entertaining. That's a fight I recommend go back and watch.
Yeah, it was
Ryan Couture's, don't watch. I got up, went to the bathroom, I made chips. Or I got some chips. I don't even like chips. I just grabbed them to do something.
No, you made chips. You got the oil out, them. The whole thing.
Yeah. I fucking was grinding the fucking corn. got like corn chips.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Making your own masa. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was kind of bummed. I didn't get to watch that one. We had, we just forgot to get it to set up to record, man. Like we were talking about earlier, there's too many fucking fights.
Too many, man.
it's hard to know when they're coming. And Bellator does it right and doesn't give us a show every goddamn week.
No.
So you don't always know. Well, it was a good weekend of fights. We got a UFC card coming up this weekend on Fight Pass, where you get the Francis Ngannou and Curtis Blaydes rematch. We get to see Alistair Overeem back in there, and then a bunch of other people we don't really know who they are. There's a few people on there, but a lot of fighters you've never heard of. It's on Fight Pass, so most of you won't watch it, but you know, whatever, could be fun. I'll watch it. I'll let you guys know how it goes. Hopefully Curtis Blaydes goes in there and just uses them Curtis razor blades on
Ngannou by submission.
I'll give you 5-1 odds on that.
Fucking flying triangle.
But before we go, I want to give a huge shout out to my boy Austin Arnett.
Oh, yes.
First win in the UFC. They brought him back. They were like, there's something about this kid. We're not going to cut him. We're going to let him come back and show what he's got. We don't feel like he got to show it all. He went out there. He got the hard-fought win this weekend at the UFC fight night. And big ups to Austin. I'm super happy for him. He's a really deserving dude. He works really hard, and he's been at it a long time. Really a lifelong martial artist. His dad's been training him his whole life, and I hope we see more from him. And did you get to see his fight?
I didn't get to see it, no, but there's
a moment in like the second round he hits the dude and totally staggers him, and I don't think he realized how hurt he was. Probably could have finished him on the feet. Shit. Man, I was like, oh fuck, don't put him against the cage, don't do it, back up, punch him, but he didn't. And that whole fight, everybody was talking about his opponent's left kick, blah blah blah, his left kick. By the end of that fight, his opponent was the one who was afraid of his kick, because Austin was throwing his kick to the ribs. It was nice. He got some good grounded pound in round three. It was a good fight. So big ups to Austin. Super happy for you, dude.
Yeah.
I hope they get you back in there soon, and the results are even more in your favor, more dominant. Get a finish and get you a little bonus, because
yes, sir.
That's what's up.
Yeah. PNW.
That's right. Keeping it real. And don't forget...
Hashtag the Sunnins.
No, hashtag the Saps.
No, it's the Sunnins this week.
The Sunnins this week?
Yeah, because...
I got to tell you...
I'm adopted.
I would watch a show where Chael adopted you and you had to move into his house. Like, you had to move into his house and you bring your dog Bro with you.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
the whole thing, you come in there and you leave your dirty dishes in the sink and you're like, Dad.
I have a leather jacket. I'm some no good punk coming off the streets.
Leather jacket, no sleeves.
Yeah. I got a fucking, I got one of those like spike bracelets.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, me and my dog Bro are here now. And Chael's just like this clean, like, I just want to help the community and this good old kid. And, you know, this is rich dad, but then he has to get hard on me, right?
Yep.
Then I start wrestling.
Yep. He gets you in the ring. He's in there. He's in there boxing you up a little bit early on. That'll be fun.
It's essentially Rocky V, but with the studio audience.
Yeah, yeah. Is it a silent studio audience?
They can have their oohs and ahs.
No, you know what you do? You bring in Bob Sapp to stand at the front of the studio audience. He's your warm up guy, Bob Sapp. Bob Sapp and Warren Sapp warm up the crowd with a little roughhousing and wrestling.
They come up with a slapstick comedy routine. And I want what's his name from Growing Pains to be in it. Fuck is his name, man?
Kurt Cameron.
I want Kurt Cameron on the show.
Well, if you told me Kurt Cameron and Chael Sonnen were friends, I'd believe you.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. Kurt Cameron, Chael Sonnen, Jake the Half Black Attack Smith Sonnen in the Sonnens.
Yeah, guys. Tweet that out.
You know what that's coming to? The Hallmark Channel.
Right?
I'm watching
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
This holiday season.
Right.
All right. I'm out of here, guys.
All right. Later.